I hate the fucking holidays. It's a cold, cold night in December. I'm staggering through the middle of a snow-covered barren street in Long Branch, New Jersey, dazed and confused. Mind cloudy, vision blurred, I'm a fucking mess. It all feels like some kind of fever dream, but every time I look down and see the gaping wound on the side of my abdomen, I bring myself right back to reality. My walk turns to a limp as I look back, expecting to see someone following me. But the only thing behind me is a trail of my own blood. Pain from my wound's getting worse, and the thick, frosty air ain't helping it either. I'm a fucking mess. I spot a bench on the side of the street. Salvation. I need to sit down, collect my thoughts, recalibrate. As soon as I park myself on the bench, it feels like heaven for about 7 seconds. But the throbbing ache is piercing and getting worse. I gaze up at the night sky as snowflakes start to sprinkle down my face. At this point, I come to a realization. I'm going to die. I'm almost 22 years old and I'm going to die on this cold wooden bench in the middle of the street, and there is nothing I can do about it. How did it get to this? How did it all get to this? Well, for anyone who's still interested, I'm going to do that thing where I hook you with a cold open and then backtrack to 1 week earlier. Why? Because fuck you, that's why. I'm the one who's dying, so I get to tell my story, my way. Here's my opening credits origin. My name is Marcus Beacon, and I'm a private investigator. Well, sort of, kind of, not really. I'm currently a college senior at Sunbrook University. It's a small school that's located in Long Branch, New Jersey, just north of the Jersey Shore. Yes, that Jersey Shore. I'm a criminal justice major on my way to a career in something that preferably involves criminals and or justice. I've always had this strange fascination with the law and the criminal mind, so I decided it was a career path that made the most sense. Plus, I'm kind of obsessed with 80s cop movies. Living on campus during this time was an eye-opening experience, to say the least. I tried keeping to myself during those years while at the same time trying to become familiar with the who's who and what's what of this miniature Garden State bubble. I observed, I learned, I grew to know the campus intimately. During my junior year, when I found myself strapped for cash, I started a side business, earned a little extra income. I became a private investigator. I honestly don't remember how I came up with the idea. Most likely it came to me during one of my many nightly orchestras of brooding, bourbon, and self-loathing. It was just something that seemed like a good idea at the time. I started out by placing ads on the campus bulletin offering my services to anyone who had lost or stolen items. I didn't expect much, but soon my Facebook inbox began to fill with all sorts of requests. All sorts. I grew a little reputation for myself as that weird guy who's good at finding shit. I didn't mind, but I wasn't prepared for what this little side profession of mine would soon turn into. It was a chilly Saturday night, the week before finals and Christmas break. I was in my dorm room laying on my wool sheets with the radiator on full blast and listening to my Blade Runner soundtrack, when suddenly my trance was violently interrupted by obnoxious knocking.
Dude, Marcus! Marcus, you there, bro?
It was Willie Jenkins, one of my so-called socialite compatriots that lived just down the hall from me. He was a good kid, but annoying as hell. I ignored the knocking at first.
Dude, come on! I know you're in there! Your light's on, bro!
Freaking Willie. I irritably got up and answered the door. Hello, Willie, I said in my best, mock enthusiastic tone. Willie was your typical-looking college sap. He had scruffy hair, patchy stubble along his chubby cheeks. He was wearing a baggy Wiz Khalifa t-shirt that was just barely able to conceal the beer gut that seemed to expand and contract every time he breathed. I should never have opened that door.
Yo, Marcus! What's up? I've been looking everywhere for you. Are we good for tonight?
Tonight? I said, rubbing my scalp. What do you mean?
Do you ever listen to me? I've been telling you all week about the frat party we're hosting tonight. You're coming, right?
Oh yeah, I almost forgot. Will is also a newly ordained member of the Frat Omega Kappa Omega. You know, one of those cult organizations that make you sever a pig's head and wear it on your cock just so you can have that privilege of saying that you're an elite member of society. Whatever makes them happy, I suppose. Oh, That was tonight? Yeah, my bad, Willie, I forgot.
Oh, come on, man. You said you'd come. This is important to me.
I'm sure me not being there won't put a damper on it.
You're gonna make me beg? Don't make me beg. I will beg.
Oh, Willie.
Come on, what do you have going on tonight anyways? Let me guess. Blade Runner and a bottle of whiskey?
Scotch, actually.
Please?
Willie had his hands clasped together as if he was praying. It was pitiful. Will is one of the few people on this campus I considered a friend, and he seemed to have no ulterior motive. So despite my better judgment, I indulged him. Okay, fine, fine, I'm in. What the heck? But I'm not staying long, got it?
You may change your mind once you see the fine tenderloins we got coming, my brother.
Willie then playfully punched me on my shoulder. First of all, don't ever say or do that ever again. Secondly, you know I'm not really trying to date right now.
Are you seriously still sulking over that chick? Dude, it's been months. You need to get over that shit. And whoever said anything about date, I'm just trying to get your dick wet so you can get out of this funk you're in.
Whatever, Willie. Let me throw some clothes on and we can get this over with. Later on that night at the frat house, the party was in full swing. I was at the bar near the kitchen, well into my third rum and coke. I stood there, leaned against the barely plastered wall as I watched Sunbrook's social degenerates engage in their usual tribal mating calls of thumping, grinding, and yelling in beer pocket, all to the soothing native sounds of Florida Marine 5. It was the kind of thing that was almost fascinating to watch at first, but then quickly gave my pupils arthritis by the third replay of Bailando. After a while, I decided to get a breath of fresh air and have a smoke. And yes, I am fully aware of the irony of that sentence. I sat on the front stoop of the frat house and gazed into the night sky as I inhaled my second-to-last Marlboro stick. A nasty habit, I know, but it was one of the few vices that kept me afloat during my arduous final year. Several pensive thoughts later, a tender voice broke my concentration.
Hey, mind if I bum a smoke off you?
I looked up to see a woman standing over me. Green eyes, raven hair tied in a bun, athletically shaped in an infectious smile. Her attire was the latest in Jersey co-ed wear. A slim-fitting North Face jacket, black leggings which outlined her well-formed thighs and UGG boots. As an aside, I have a real thing for women in leggings. Without hesitation, I obliged her request. Sure, I said. You're lucky. I'm down to my last one. As I passed her my last Marlboro, she gave me a wide smile exposing her perfectly placed teeth. She sat promptly beside me on the stoop.
Thanks, I appreciate it. I tell you, I couldn't take being in there much longer.
You were dragged to this shindig too, huh?
Yeah, one of my girlfriends is in a sorority and I'm pretty sure she's fucking at least two of the Omegas. So yeah, out of pure obligation I came.
She'd only spoken a few sentences to me, but I already enjoyed listening to the sound of her voice. It was soft, friendly, but not too feminine. It had a sort of raspiness to it, which I liked. She sort of sounded like Michelle Pfeiffer.
And you? What brings a guy like you to a place like this?
To tell you the truth, I hate these kind of things.
What? Frat parties?
No. Parties. Just parties in general. These loud music, beer chugging, coke sniffing, awkward social events that people seem to flock to. I don't understand.
Wow. Antisocial much?
She said with a smirk. Heh. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not antisocial. Really, I'm not.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I think there are other ways to have a good time and meet people.
You've got a better suggestion of where we should be right now, mister?
There's a lounge called the Pier House, right outside of campus. Good music, good food, chill atmosphere. You might like it much better than this. I'm not the best when talking to women. For some reason, I tend to spout stupid crap like what you just heard. I couldn't tell if my social awkwardness was scaring her or intriguing her. Then she smiled as she exhaled from the cig.
Well, maybe you should take me there.
I extended my hand out to her. I'm sorry. My name's Marcus. Marcus Beacon. You are...
Carla. Carla Steinberg.
She gently shook my hand. Even in that cold winter air, her palms were warm and soft. Nice to meet you, Carla. Just then, she started to look at me curiously.
Beacon, Wait a minute, I've heard of you.
Have you?
Yeah, you're that detective guy, right?
Detective guy? No, I'm not a detective. I'm a private investigator guy. Her emerald eyes lit up with interest.
Well, well. So you're the famous beacon that everyone's talking about on campus.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is. Have you seen your Facebook page? What you do is pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it helps pass the time. Carla paused for a moment. She took a couple of drags from the cig and squinted her eyes as if she was in some kind of moment of reflection. I was starting to get nervous that I'd said something wrong. She then turned her head back to me.
How much do you charge?
Come again?
How much do you charge for your services? To take on a case, I mean.
I rubbed the back of my scalp. I never quite know how to respond to that question. I don't know. It kind of depends.
On?
On the complexity of the case. Why do you ask?
Well, what if I were to hire you?
Are you being serious?
Very.
I paused for a moment as I inhaled the last of my cig. What exactly would you want to hire me for?
My boyfriend.
Your boyfriend?
Yes.
He wants to hire me?
No, dummy. I want to hire you. I want you to look into my boyfriend for me.
Huh. I see.
Is that a problem?
No, not really. What exactly are we asking here?
Well, how do I put this delicately? I think he's fucking someone else.
You've caught him in the act.
No, but all the usual cheating boyfriend signs are there. He's been avoiding my calls, my texts. When I do see him, he seems, I don't know, distant? Sounds cliche, but that spark between us just isn't there anymore. I feel like feels like he just wants to be with someone else, but doesn't have the balls to tell me.
Doesn't mean he's cheating.
I'm not being paranoid. I know he is. The other night we were having dinner together, I swear every 5 seconds he was checking his phone like he was expecting a text from someone. Then there was last night. He's staying over in my dorm. While he was using the shower, I smelled his jacket, and it had this odor on it, this perfume.
Are you sure it wasn't just his cologne?
It was perfume, Marcus. I'm a woman. I kind of know what that smells like.
Okay, I believe you. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. It's just, this whole thing is making me a little OCD, as you can tell. I mean, I'm smelling my boyfriend's jacket behind his back because I don't trust him. How fucked up is that?
It was a sad situation for sure. I don't know what it was about her, but the sorrow protruding from her voice made me feel sorry for her. I was starting to like this dame.
So yeah, I need to know if he's cheating on me, Marcus. We've been together for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. I need to know once and for all so I don't waste any more of my time on him.
And what if you're wrong?
I'm not.
What if you are?
Then it'll be the easiest $500 you ever made.
You're gonna pay me $500 to spy on your boyfriend?
Is that a yes?
I paused for a brief moment. I flicked my cigarette onto the frosty grass next to me as I exhaled my last bit of nicotine. I looked at Carla, stared into her green eyes, and almost got lost in them as she smirked at me.
Well, Detective Beacon, what do you say?
What's his name and where does he live? Monday arrived, and I found myself sitting in a Philosophy 101 course. I hate philosophy. Never understood the point of it. A bunch of hypothetical theories being touted as fact by some middle-aged jerk-off who feels the need to compensate for his midlife crisis PTSD. A fucking waste of time, money, and intelligence. You know, just my opinion. Minutes later, my real topic of study arrived. Jason Cerenzio, Carla's boyfriend. After hiring me to spy on him, she provided Jason's full class schedule. I figured I'd sit in on one, keep a close eye on the guy, and follow him around a bit to look for peculiar behavior. Jason's your typical jock-looking douchebag. Dark, slick-back hair, square jaw, diamond-studded earrings, and an overly roided-up frame, all wrapped neatly in overpriced express menswear. I didn't know why Carla would go for a guy like that in the first place. He was a walking cliché of himself, and I hate clichés like NBC hates good television. So I ended up sitting through the entire painful philosophy lecture, all the while keeping my eye on Jason. I figured if Jason is cheating on Carla, then most likely it'd be with a girl he met in one of his courses. After all, 9 out of 10 college relationships begin in the classroom. According to Dr. Phil. I watched as Jason flirted with a couple of giggling co-eds who were sitting beside him. He was passing notes to them the entire time they were eating it up. What is it with guys like this that just heat up women's furnaces? Yeah, that wasn't a good metaphor, but you know what I mean. After the philosophy class, I sat in on a few of Jason's other courses, but unfortunately, I wasn't gaining any traction. I followed him around campus for a bit as he met up with his fellow goons for lunch. You could tell he was a popular guy. He rolled with a large crew and seemed to know a lot of people on campus, especially women. Whenever women walked by him, he gave a seductive grin and they would return in kind. You had to give the guy credit. He didn't even bother hiding his sleazeball tendencies. It was all out in the open. But that wasn't enough to prove that he was actually sleeping around on Carla. A little later on the day after my criminology course, I decided to take the next step in the investigation before retreating to my fortress of solitude. I decided to take a trip to the northern part of campus to the Rochelle dormitories. This is where Jason lived, according to Carla. I figured if I were going to find any real incriminating evidence against the guy, it'd be in his dorm room. According to Jason's class schedule, he had Calculus 101 at 4:15 and it went on until 5:20. It was his last class of the day, but it gave me a full hour to carefully explore the contents of Jason's room. I just needed to get in. When I arrived at the dorm, I was greeted by Alyssa McRyan, the exact person I was hoping to find. Alyssa was one of the head RAs of the Rochelle dorm, which meant that she held the keys to all of the rooms. Alyssa and I had history, and she owed me a few favors, so I decided to cash in.
Marky!
I told you not to call me that, Alyssa.
Chipper as ever, I see. What are you doing up here, Marky?
Well, I was hoping you could help me. A friend of mine lives here. Jason Sorrenzio.
Seriously? You're friends with Sorrenzio? Guy's a total douchebag.
He has his moments, I'll give you that. But listen, I do need a favor. Jason's in Cal class right now, and he just texted me that he forgot his midterm assignment in his room. Between you and me, he's kind of on the edge of flunking it, so he can't really afford to not pass in this assignment. He asked me if I could get it for him. So I was hoping you could get me the key to his room. It was the best improvised excuse I could come up with.
Marky, on what planet would anyone buy all that bullcrap you just told me?
She was no idiot. I like that about her. Not a word of it, huh?
Nope.
All right. The truth is, it's for a case. I have a new client that I took on last night. I can't tell you who it is, but I need to get into Jason's room.
Is it his girlfriend?
Alyssa.
Okay, fine. Is it an important case?
I'm getting paid $500.
Yeah, that's pretty damn important.
Come on, Alyssa. I'm cashing in a favor here. I'll be in and out in no more than 10, 15 minutes tops. She hesitated before delivering a response.
Okay, screw it. Even though I'm breaking like every rule in the building, I owe you a few anyway. After that thing you did for me last summer?
I knew the prettiest girl in Rochelle dorm wouldn't let me down.
Oh, shut the fuck up, Marky, and take the damn key. Make sure you don't look all suspicious.
I took the key and made my way up the elevator to the third floor. I entered Jason's room, 307. When I got in, I walked into a pigsty. His room was littered with jeans and boxers all tossed about. The walls were covered with hip-hop posters and Sports Illustrated models. The punk was a typical alpha male. The worst kind of male. I thought to myself, how the hell was I supposed to find any tangible evidence in this sad excuse for a living quarter? I carefully looked through his dresser and his closet to see what I could find. Admittedly, I wasn't even quite sure what I was looking for. Being an alpha male, I figured this guy would have panties or nude selfies or something incriminating from his mistress that I could use as proof. I was coming up short. I was starting to think that maybe Carla was wrong and her boyfriend was nothing more than a shameless flirt. Suddenly I heard the door handle turn. Impossible. It can't be Jason. He's supposed to be in calculus, I thought to myself. Damn it. The doorknob jiggered as I heard the key work its way inside. With only seconds to react, I quickly dove under his bed. I took a pair of his jeans and tried to partly conceal myself with it. When the door opened, Jason entered, and he was with someone, a female. From under the bed, I couldn't quite make out who it was. I could only see the pairs of feet moving about. Not long after the two entered, I was consumed with the sound of wet kisses and moaning. Yeah, talk about awkward. Well, the good news was, if I was going to get any proof of Jason's infidelity, this was it. He was a cheating asshole, just like Carla thought. While the two proceeded to fornicate, I quietly took out my cell phone and used my recorder app to capture the scandalous encounter as evidence. As the two wrestled on the bed over me, I heard Jason say,
Wait. I gotta get a condom first.
The girl moaned in frustration.
I know. Let me just grab one from under the bed real quick.
Under the bed? This wasn't good.